What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. Welcome to episode 6 of the season. We've got over the hump of 5. We've done it, boys. We've been consistent.
We're on a streak.
It's great. It's fantastic. It's like Snapchat in 2013. I'm going to see who's on Tom's best friends and who he's trying to shag.
Bit noncy, Snapchat.
It was. I don't ever got that. There was one point where I was pretty sure you could like see anybody, and it was a bit weird. That was the whole thing, wasn't it? Like when everyone was at school, you had like when it first had, you had the best friends list. So you just saw.
Oh my god! What, when you could see who everyone was chatting?
Yeah,
that was class.
Yeah.
That was class. You'd be like, oh, I've seen that girl in the year below's third, you nonce. I forgot about that.
And then mine was just like all my mates, because I was just so horribly single the whole time at school. But look at me now, still horribly single.
Flying.
I wish it was flying.
Flying out on Thursdays.
Yeah, I mean, that's Tom. To be fair, actually, considering when we recorded the last pod, give us an update, Tom. How was it?
What?
Thursday.
Oh. No, I was zoning out of the first sidetrack of the episode. Thursday dating. Thursday, yeah, we got there far too late, but it was fun. It wasn't really a Thursday dating. It ended up just being more of a lad's night out, but it was good fun.
Nice. Where did you go? Where was it?
It was Prince of Wales, Brixton.
Oh, very nice. So you were there.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Did you stand in the corner, or did you, you know, get involved? Was there a little...
I got involved, but by the time I got involved, there was basically no one there. It was pretty much empty. I don't know if that was the whole night or if we just got there. We got there at like 11, which I think is too late, but that's it's my housemate's fault. So we'll cross that bridge next time.
I'm just saying there needs to, I think, maybe be one of those opportunities where we seize it as the Echo. You know, we head out Thursday dating because they sponsor absolutely anybody. So just saying, it's the most successful Chelsea podcast.
Don't diss them. They might actually want to work with us.
No, I'm saying we're like the most successful Chelsea podcast that no one listens to. So, you know, realistically.
Yet.
I think this is a sponsor.
Early days. We're a project.
Exactly. We're just like Chelsea. And speaking of the project, we are here, obviously, to talk about players in rotation for our cup game against Wimbledon. Come on. Mm. Yes. Been a presenter for 10 years. Look at me go. Anyway, first run to a trophy. We're on our way, boys. We're going to win the lot.
Yep.
Yeah, round two of the Carabao. It's a new place for us. Or not new, but it's been a while since we've been there.
Yeah, what was it? Last one was Bristol Rovers 2016 in Conte's first season. It was so bad. That was what? Did Michi score? Yeah. I can't remember. Put it this way. It was the first season I was in charge of 100% Chelsea, and I didn't even realise that was happening as a game.
Says a lot. Unprofessional.
I was sat in my university dorm room. I was like, we just played Bristol Rovers. What the fuck? Where's that come from? Completely forgetting that it was happening. We won, and then I can't even remember how we did in the Carabao that year.
We went out to West Ham, I think.
That was 1-0 loss, wasn't it? It was the next round, actually, I think, September. Mm. And the game after, we played Arsenal, where raised his fingers as he came on.
Oh, we changed. Yeah, that's where it all changed.
And that was it.
That's where it all changed.
The rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. Well, we're looking for a repeat of that, aren't we?
We absolutely are. And Wimbledon's a good one. I mean, I'm still trying to potentially source a ticket for that. So, you know, if anyone's got any knocking about, or for me and Tobes potentially, depending on his knee, obviously, you know, could have gone pro in that. Could have played for Wimbledon.
Been robbed, mate. Been robbed.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously, look as you get that. But it's only our fourth competitive game under Poch. So, lads, what are we expecting? Talk to me.
Don't know what we're expecting, really, to be honest. Like, more of the same from Luton, I guess, but presumably with a completely different 11. Or was he going to keep it similar to get more, you know, confidence in games under their belt? I don't really know. Our next game is Forest on a Saturday, so it's only a 3-day turnaround, so it probably will be rotation. But, you know, there's a few players who haven't really played much yet, whether that be from injury or just haven't really featured. So I'm hoping to see them. And I really hope, even though last season, I think they've changed it, but last season Wimbledon played a three at the back quite a lot. I'm hoping this year they're not, and therefore we match them. and player 4, because I haven't seen that since pre-season. I'd quite like to see it. Poch, please, not asking for much. Oh, and also, please, next time you put barbecue post up, can I see some garlic? Thank you.
Yes, yes. What did I say? Fancy sausages and steaks. I was right. I was so right.
He's not a garlic man. That was a sad reveal from Poch.
Disappointing. But, I
mean, to be fair, like maybe it was just like on the side. Like the chimichurri was just on the side. Potentially.
Yeah, maybe. If not.
It did look good. It did look banging. He is cooking. And I think he's cooking up an absolute hammering against Wimbledon. I think this is the game. Fill your boots, lads. I want to see Madueke start. Like Tom said, I think there will be rotation. I kind of want it to be a bit half and half because I'm weighing up. I'm like, oh, it'd be nice to see Burstow up front. But then I'm like, I would like a Jackson hat-trick. So I don't mind a little bit of switch. You know, give Enzo a rest. Play Lavia if he's available. Play Mudrick if he's available. So it's still a strong team. And then you've still got Badia Shield might be fit enough to play a bit. Matson should play left back because the other one's going to be out of the club probably soon. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, I want to see some goals. I want to see them go up. Go on and express yourself, lads. That's what I want. I want some, let's have some fun football. I don't want to see us, well, if we're even able to see it, but I don't want to see a struggle. Like, come on, it's Wimbledon.
Absolutely.
We'll be there.
Hopefully, if we can source some tickets, I'm just saying, pretty much pint is a necessity. I know, Jordan, you're going to be there, aren't you, mate?
Sorry, I don't know if you can see, I've got 3 burgers for dinner.
What's in them?
Yes, I will be there. Matthew Harding Lower. I'm very much looking forward to going to my first game of the year. It's been difficult sourcing some tickets, so I can't lie.
Is it? But we don't give a shit. What's in the burgers?
Barbecue chicken is what I went for, but the chicken is some sort of shit frozen Iceland. It's not any good chicken.
Hang on, is it like a Rustlers? Have you just warmed up 3 like Rustlers burgers?
Well, I've made them, but they are essentially Rustlers, but they're homemade Rustlers.
Oh, I love a homemade Rustler. Well,
I'm no Gordon Ramsay, I must say.
I don't know. They look more seasoned than Poch's, I can't lie.
You've got garlic in there.
No garlic.
What is this? Why does everyone hate garlic?
I made an unbelievable. Basically, like I'm like now on my last legs in my kitchen because I've got stuff out of the freezer all sorted. But I'm like the last legs of what's in my cupboard, so I sorted all that right. I had an unbelievable caramelized shallot, garlic, and tomato confit on toast and a red wine sauce, and that's me on my last legs. That is me on my last legs. Mate, I'm just gonna show you boys the picture. I think we absolutely just needs to happen where we just like post food on the Chelsea Echo account. I think it's gonna happen. That's the most important thing in the world. Nourishment. Much like we can nourish our players with goals, or Enzo nourishes the team with, I'm typing nourishment instead of photos.
Poor Wimbledon have just heard about Thursday dating and food.
I mean, just look at it. Don't tell me that is not glorious.
Does look good.
That does look nice.
It's sensual. It was fantastic, and I was very happy with it. But hopefully, in terms of nourishment, we can nourish ourselves with something that looks more like that rather than Jordan's Rustlers burgers and nourish the team with some goals.
Nice.
So proud of that one. I mean, there's not really much else we could say about Wimbledon, is there? It's like,
well, have you not been watching Wimbledon? You're not aware?
Yeah, they're on fire. They haven't lost this season. They beat Coventry in the second round of the cup. They've won their last 2 away games in the league, which last year was a big problem, as you'll hear from my friend Nick later on in this episode. So they're coming into this game with a bit of confidence. And the thing about this game, I suppose, is that they have absolutely nothing to lose. Mm. So they can play a bit of fearless football. I'm not sure how much of that they've been doing, but they come here. It's the dream cup tie for them. You know, Chelsea away, they don't have to travel too far, but they get to go to a top 6 Premier League side, or should I say big 6 Premier League, so I can't really say top 6 when we finished 12th last year, but a big 6 Prem side, and, get stuck into us. I'm sure they'll sell out the away end, and they'll have a great evening, and, we've got to be up for it, because they will be.
Will they get the whole shed, or is that just FA Cup?
They might do. I don't know how it works. Yeah, I've seen that quite a few times, so maybe they'll definitely bring a fair few, and they'll be pretty vocal. Although their stadium isn't massive, but this will be the one where the casuals join them and add the numbers, won't it?
The crazy gang will be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, look, speaking of this cup tie, obviously it's a big game for them. It's a big game for us as well. You know, we want to get back to winning trophies, and cups this year probably are going to be our best chance. With so many players that are young, inexperienced, need to get more games, no European football, is this probably Chelsea's most important cup run in years, potentially?
No. To me, it's Champions. To me, it's Champions League. That's the one for me. We can't go 2 years, just because Roma never went 2 years, and then you're veering away from what Chelsea has become. And I think that's the key for me. Trophy's lovely. Trophy's a lovely bonus. But if you said to me, we'll get no Champions League and win a trophy, or get Champions League and no trophy this year, I'm taking Champions League all day, I think. That's just for me, I reckon.
Yeah, that's fair enough, but I still think that it's definitely up there in one of our most important cup runs, simply because, as well, as you said, obviously we do want to win a trophy. Last year was a shambles, so if we can get a trophy, and also, let's not beat about the bush here, Poch's trophy record is something that is, you know, laughed at and was laughed at by us for years. So if he can then come here and win a cup straight away, or win, well, realistically that will be what we win, a cup if we win anything. So if we can go and do that, that'd be great. But, you know, I agree, you know, have to get Champions League, especially with obviously our spending and having to kind of do that, otherwise we may be in a bit of trouble with UEFA. So we don't want that. But yeah, I think in terms of, you know, getting those players up to speed as well, hopefully we can go on a bit of a run, and obviously it'd be nice to have some days out of Wembley again as well, and you know, that would be a pretty marked return to Chelsea life rather than whatever last year was.
Absolutely. Just as I'm moving as well. So if we end up going to Wembley when I'm not here, I'll be livid. That's all I'm saying. No more easy commutes for me. But I agree with both of your points. I do think that there's... I get Toja's point where you need to keep that DNA and keep it moving. But I do feel that with such a young team, we need to get as many games as possible. And I feel like we can, if we can strike the balance of doing a cup run, I mean, for me...
That's the idea, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, quarter-finals, I'm going to say. I'm not going to say semis, but even that should be.
Yeah, with Frank's first year, with when he had all the kids, like, I know we didn't win the FA Cup at the end, but like, he got to the final, but we also got top four. That's the ideal. That'd be great. And then win it this time, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing with that potentially worries me is if we do get to final, you look at that team as an example, you still had Willian, you still had Pedro, you still had, you know, these older heads within the side. I don't think we really have that anymore. So I know we can talk about Chile and we can talk about Reece James being seasoned pros, but they're not the older heads that know about the certain bits of game management that can, you know, do those certain things which you need them to. So we'll have to really see how everything develops. But you know, one game at a time. Let's not talk about the semi-finals and the finals until we can potentially get past these sides. But anyway, with that, we'll talk about that game. We've done our bit. Let's get Tom to do the opposition preview. Come on, mate. You did it this week. What happened? I did.
Well, you know, I have a few contacts in the wacky world of Wimbledon, in Womble Land, as we'll hear on Wednesday, their lovely Womble chant. And I thought I'd you know, step on your toes a bit and take over that. So, yeah, I spoke to my mate Nick, who is a very big Wimbledon fan, and he gives us a little rundown on their history, their journey to this point, and obviously a little bit about the game as well. And forgive me for the last bit of my intro where I say League Two clash. Chelsea have not fallen that far yet. It is, in fact, a League Cup clash. I am joined by AFC Wimbledon super fan, season ticket holder, and general League Two connoisseur Nick Bateman, ahead of this week's League Two clash. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm good, Tom. Thank you very much for having me.
Very welcome. So obviously, we've sort of spoken a few times about what's going on down there at AFC Wimbledon and the lovely stadium that is Plough Lane. But, you know, there's a bit of a background to the club that perhaps not every club has such a unique story. So talk to me a bit about that and your thinking on the sort of developments and the move to Plough Lane.
Yeah, so yeah, as you say, Tom, it's a unique club. I guess we're relatively recently reformed in 2002. We were a Premier League club, you know, in the 80s, 90s. Famously had a FA Cup victory over Liverpool in the 88. So that's kind of put us on the map, really, kind of, well, nationally and globally, I suppose, to some extent. And yeah, very controversial kind of early noughties kind of developments with ownership and stuff like that. So there was a massive mooted property deal kind of planned for in Milton Keynes in, yeah, as I said, in the early noughties, and kind of with the idea of a club moving there to, you know, create a load of money and kind of I guess bring a lot of interest to Milton Keynes. And Wimbledon were in a pretty precarious kind of point in their history. We were ground sharing with Palace at Selhurst Park through a lot of the 90s, and, you know, because we weren't able to stay at Plough Lane for numerous reasons, some of which I can't speak to, having not been born around the time. But yeah, and so we were kind of, I guess, ripe for almost for exploitation from an owner in some extent, in some ways. And we moved to Milton Keynes, and kind of at that point, really, the from the fans' point of view, or at least 99% of them, Wimbledon FC, as we kind of knew it, was dead. And in 2002, we kind of reformed as AFC Wimbledon, which was kind of a phoenix club, kind of born from the ashes of Wimbledon FC. And as we know, the club that in, I guess, legally still the same continuation of Wimbledon FC is MK Dons. And we obviously kind of, you know, we wouldn't call it a rivalry. We don't think they should exist. I'm not sure how they feel about us. Now probably see it as a bit of pantomime, but yeah, we're just, you know, since then we've kind of been on our own pretty brilliant journey through non-league and up through non-league and into League Two in 2011, which was amazing, and we've kind of been between League Two and League One ever since, really. Difficult really for our club to kind of grow much beyond that. We're still a trust-owned club, so there's obviously financial kind of limitations with that model, but equally we can kind of speak to probably a lot greater long-term security than other clubs can in terms of, you know, as I said, our ownership model, and I guess the chance of a you know, an oligarch swinging by and kind of ripping the heart of the club is much less likely to happen, which is positive. But as I said, that we've probably got a ceiling, and it's probably League One, low end Championship level. We're quite a way away from that at the moment. But yeah,
nice. That's a pretty good summary there of the history of AFC Wimbledon in a nice couple of minutes. But you know, obviously, I spoke quite a few times to you last season, and I've been to a few games and things like that, and it was tough, I suppose, in terms of the results and the performances on the field. But I've seen, you know, this year much improved, a couple of away wins, which was which just didn't happen last year, unbeaten in the league, and now, you know, obviously beat Coventry in the first round of the EFL Carabao, whatever they're calling it these days, Cup. Yeah. and now a trip to the Bridge. So, you know, how are you feeling about all things this season and a good start?
Yeah, much more positive. Obviously the season's in its infancy, really. But yeah, much more positive than last year. I think hard to know, you know, why we were quite so poor last year. Probably on paper, our recruitment in both windows was fairly strong. But I think, you know, for whatever reason, I think injuries happened kind of at a bad time to certain key players. I think, you know, our number nine, Josh Davison, played 35 league games on the trot last season, you know, absolute athlete, but massively run him into the ground. I think, you know, and then was injured for the rest of the season. So I think that's kind of symptomatic of the position we were in. You know, Alex Pearce was a centre half we signed from Millwall, you know, seasoned, very experienced centre half, but he was only available for, I think, fewer than half the games in the end. Trying to think who else, really. I'm just trying to think about the kind of churn of players, because we've signed quite a few. I can't really think about who's left that was a major loss, really. But I think the recruitment this season's been much stronger. I think that thinking about you know, the manager, this is his third you know, transfer window. So I think, you know, really starting to see a squad that's, I guess, his really. You know, he's really able to put kind of a stamp on yeah, his kind of brand of football, brand of player. You know, it's very much his now, having had those three windows. You know, re-signed, I should say, Jake Reeves, who was part of our promotion team in 15-16 when we got promoted by the playoffs to League One. So he's been re-signed, made club captain at the start of this season. You know, been brilliant. You know, obviously, we'll talk about Wednesday's fixture, but he's likely to be unavailable, unfortunately. Yeah, nonetheless, probably, you know, probably our one key signing. Made other good improvements in key areas. We've retained Ali Alhamadi, who we signed in January from Wickham. He scored a shedload of goals last season. Since January, one player of the year from memory, having only joined for half the season, which is pretty incredible. He's not yet notched this season, but still been a you know, a key part of our front line. In fact, you know, him and Omar Bugyal combined haven't contributed at all with any goals in the league thus far, but you know, still part of a consistently positive and strong team that's got a few wins. So yeah, that's been good.
And let's talk about obviously Johnny Jackson, the main man there. I think it's fair to say he's had a sort of topsy-turvy kind of start to life in Wimbledon. There were a few people who weren't very happy with him last year, and sort of at some of those results. But, you know, seems to have turned it up now. And you said he's had his third window and maybe has a squad more reflective of kind of himself rather than what he was dealt with. So what are your kind of current thoughts on him now and on him taking the club to where you want to be?
I mean, well, first and foremost, you know, more than happy to have him as our manager at the moment. He's done well this season. I think, you know, the current kind of football culture is you know, very much about putting the blame on the manager when things don't go right. And I think that's quite reductionist. I think there's a lot of other factors at play. I think last season, you know, he dealt a pretty poor hand with injuries. That's, you know, arguably not his fault. A few other factors while we were successful last year. But yeah, I think that there's a lot more kind of drive and I guess kind of unit seems to be a more of a unity among the players. And I think that, you know, team culture doesn't get created in a vacuum. You know, it comes from, you think the leadership from above. So I think he deserved credit for that. I think that beyond Johnny Jackson, though, I think that, you know, we've now got a proper kind of footballing structure kind of above him as well. So a chap called Craig Cope joined us, I guess, back end of last season, really. I can't remember if he was involved during the January transfer window. I think he was, from memory. So he's effectively head of recruitment, kind of director of football kind of role. He was previously at Solihull Moors and they were quite successful, you know, when he was there. And he seems to have done a really good job. So there seems to be, you know, I refer to unity among the players, as a kind of a unity and a kind of collective understanding from the coaching side, from the management side as well, of what kind of needs to happen. You know, what is needed for success, really. And that seems to be reflective in kind of, we've had a couple of Meet the Manager events at a pre-season tour in Spain, which was well attended by fans, actually. There was an event in one of the evenings where several of the new players did their initiations with their songs and all the rest of it. And I think that was a good kind of time of bonding between players and fans. But I think also just it's reflective of the fact that, you know, they're you know, doing that, you have to then get things right. So I think that it's kind of, they're opening themselves up to criticisms if things don't go wrong, but also, you know, that leads to greater accountability as well. And I think that as well, being a fan-owned, trust-owned club, we're probably a little bit more patient than other clubs. But equally, we, you know, every football fan wants the best from their team, best from their players, don't they? So, that, you know, any poor result's got to be kind of taken with a pinch of salt, but I think we're doing well at the moment, which is great. So long may it continue, but can't get too far ahead of ourselves for sure.
Yeah, of course. And we're in a similar boat here at Chelsea, obviously, kind of looking at it positive after a poor season last year. Slight difference in spending in the summer, perhaps, but we'll get to that in a sec. But on obviously the game itself on Wednesday night, you know, what are your kind of thoughts from a Wimbledon perspective, and who are the players that you think could maybe cause Chelsea a few problems?
I mean, it's a difficult one to kind of predict what team we'll put out, to be honest, because we had a changed team for the Coventry game. You know, compared to the other league fixtures we'd had, with, you know, we signed Alex Bass in goal on loan from Sunderland this year. But it was Nick Tanev who was in goal against Coventry. He's our number one in squad number, if not anything else, up and down last season, but had put in a brilliant performance against Coventry. So he may well feature in goal ahead of Alex Bass, which I certainly won't complain about, given on the back of his performance against Coventry. As I said, Jake Reeves likely to be missing in the centre of midfield, unfortunately, because he seems to sustain a knock on Saturday. So he's likely to be missing. I imagine that Amani Little is normally Jake Reeves' partner in midfield. I imagine he'll be fit enough to feature. He's a good player. Tends to mop up in front of defence, and he's definitely got a kind of Hollywood pass in him, but tends to keep things relatively simple and keep things ticking over, which he normally does well with Reeves. Just trying to think of who else is likely to feature. Tom, I said that, you know, things are likely to change quite a lot. It'll be interesting to see if Ali Alhamadi starts, considering he's not yet, as I said, he's not yet scored in the league or cup. But has looked good. I wouldn't be surprised if he's benched in favour of Josh Davison, who's our number nine, not yet featured too greatly this season, but put himself about when he's come on. Well, I'd like to see a bit of Aaron Sarsu. So he's a 18-year-old winger, academy product, Norwegian youth international. Quite interesting. He started against Coventry, you know, put himself about quite a lot, really tall for a winger, pacey, long strides, which is quite interesting. I'd like him to feature, I'd like to see a bit of him. Ryan McLean was our match winner against Coventry from the bench, scored a brilliant goal right at the death to win it. I'd like to see him feature, though he's not really even come on as a substitute that many times in the league thus far, so I'd be surprised if he starts. But certainly deserves a look in. Aside from that, I don't anticipate many changes, certainly with the back four. It's been quite consistent the last few games, and I don't think it changed much for the Coventry game either. Our two bright young academy fullback prospects are both injured, Jack Curry and Huss Bieler respectively. But equally, we've done well in their absence. Isaac Ogundeir is another academy product. He's been playing at right back. He's really come on leaps and bounds, by all accounts, developing, improving every week. And he, in fairness, he did feature quite a lot last season, with Huss Bieler being unfortunately admitted to the medical bed a few times. So he's been really good. And Lee Brown is a kind of stalwart left back, and he'll I imagine he'll start as well. So yeah, it's hard to predict what kind of starting 11 we'll put out, Tom, to be honest. But I'll be interested to see who does feature. I suspect there might be a few changes, but equally taking into account that you know, the opposition, obviously we've got to put out as strong a team as we can to give ourselves a chance. So yeah, we'll see.
Exciting. And you know, obviously from the game itself, you know, we always talk about these cup games, and for the clubs lower down the sort of in the leagues one and two, it's always about trying to draw a Premier League club and ideally a top six club. And the absolute dream is to get an away day, and I guess for you guys to get that away day and get that away day in London, so you don't have to travel miles, is probably a dream fixture. So how are you as a fan and a fan who's going to the game feeling about the game and the opportunity to kind of shout your lungs out at Stamford Bridge?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it, as you say, for a fixture, it couldn't be any more perfect. This kind of stage of the season. A couple of years ago, we had Arsenal away at a similar time. Not a positive fixture on that one, but you know, still fun to go to a London-based away game for sure. I'm very much looking forward to the game. You know, no real expectation of getting a positive result, but you know, we do have previous in terms of cut upsets. You know, something in the club's DNA around, you know, upsetting the odds. You know, certainly, you know, in 88, there's very much a kind of crazy gang kind of culture around the team. I'm not sure how kind of present that is now, and to what extent the players kind of buy into that. They're probably quite keen to kind of create their own culture, really, you know, as they should. But, you know, we do have previous with club, you know, as a club of upsetting the odds, beat West Ham in the FA Cup in the third round a few seasons ago at our previous ground, Kings Meadow, which was, you know, a great night. We'll live long in the memory. So, you know, it's possible. We know, obviously, Chelsea bought lots of new players and maybe still in the process of gelling. So maybe, you know, it's a good opportunity for us to kind of go in all guns blazing. But, yeah, that's not to say that we'll... you know, match the opposition in terms of quality, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, you know, as you say, there's a lot of new faces in that dugout, a new manager, so there's certainly not the cohesion that maybe you guys do have. But just before we sort of wrap it up, have you got a sort of prediction for how the evening might go?
I was umming and ahhing about whether or not to go optimistic or realistic. I'm probably going to go with the latter. So I'd say, I'm going to say 3-1 Chelsea. But obviously, you know, if we get an early goal, or if it's 0-0 at half time, I think we're, you know, we'll still very much be within the game, and there could be a few, you know, a few itchy feet, some nerves within the Chelsea team, perhaps, and that may be a good opportunity for us to push on. So we'll see.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, lovely to talk to you, Nick, and best of luck on Wednesday.
Thanks very much, John. Cheers.
Look at you, mate. I'm so proud. I feel like a proud dad.
Like a dad.
I saw you doing it. It was there, just sort of, you know, you're Joseph in the school production. Right? It's getting there. It's the first stage towards winning the Oscars, and you know you're getting there. I'm really proud of you.
2040 Oscars, bring it on.
Yeah, Tobe, step up your fucking game.
I'm one of the background shepherds at the moment.
No, you're the star. You're the star. No, you're the wise man. That's
you're
what you are.
You're a tree.
I'm a tree. I think I was like a tree in the nativity as a kid, you know.
I was Joseph in my school nativity. It was my first big role. And I remember my mum having a go at me because apparently I didn't stroke Mary's hair enough when she was in labour. So I remember being in the front row, just sort of going, stroke her fucking hair, like this angry scouse lady, just like, stroke her hair, do it now. I'm like, little 6-year-old just looking over going, oh, okay, like, what am I doing here? This is weird. It was it's fun, but you know, it was Joseph. So,
tree number two.
Replacement tree.
So I'm like first reserve.
I was a policeman in our end of year play. I have no idea what it was.
I was a policeman.
And it gets worse. No. I don't know what the play was. It wasn't Nativity. It was the end of the year one, the summer one. And I don't know. I was like 6 or something. And I was really hot in my police costume at the back of the stage. My mum got worried, and so she got the headmistress to run around the back of the stage and pick me up because she thought I was going to pass out on stage because I was getting really hot. So I didn't even finish the play.
Did you even finish that school? Or did you have to move?
I did finish. No, I was 6, mate. I was, like, people forget quickly at that age. But yeah, I didn't even finish the school play. That was the beginning and the end of my acting career. But you know, maybe it'll be restarted now. Bring the Oscars. I fancy it.
I got. The two biggest ones I got were probably the two biggest typecasts in my life, right? I got Adolfo Parelli, the Italian barber, in Sweeney Todd. And the worst one where
did
I actually
get De Niro?
Got... I wish De Niro's in the audience. Yeah, not bad. The worst one I got, to the point where the head of drama actually asked me if I wanted to do it before we even started. I got Horton the Elephant. In Seussical, and she went, do you want to do this? I'm like, yeah, it's a lead. Why would I not want to do it? And she's there going, it's an elephant. And I'm there like, yeah, and and I got cast as Horton the Elephant, so two big typecasts there. Joseph, Horton the Elephant, and Adolfo Parilli. Joseph not being the typecast, because I am no cuckold. Anyway, after that tangent, as usual, so you've had school plays, dinner, and dating.
First days.
Yeah,
it's like, and Snapchat.
And Snapchat.
Oh, yeah, and Snapchat, nice.
In the space of 20 minutes, there's been a tangent every 5 minutes. That is impressive. I'm proud of us, boys. Let's just do our predicted 11. Straight off the bat, what are we going for? Is Petrovic going to get his first starting goal?
Is he in the country?
He's all done. He's signed. Signed, sealed, delivered.
Could do. Maybe. Or it could be a little Marcus Bettinelli number. If he's fit. I have no idea which goalkeepers are even fit. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Just go Petrovic.
I don't mind Sanchez getting more minutes as well. It's kind of like an either or, isn't it?
Do you two want to play rock, paper, scissors and then decide it, please?
We'll just go. Let's go with Petrovic.
Yeah,
yeah,
go.
Why not?
Get your debut.
No
entertainment? Okay, cool, fine.
Nice.
Sorry, mate.
It's a keeper, Louis. No one gives a shit about keepers.
Hoping he's not really needed. Hoping he's not needed at all. He just sort of picks his towel up after 45 and 90 minutes and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You can put a broom in goal and they'll hopefully done the same job.
Like, anyway, right. Petrovic in goal. Left back, Ian Mattson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Right back, who's going in there? Is Trev fit?
I don't think so.
Trev is not fit, I don't think.
He hasn't been. I haven't seen any pictures of him training, whereas at least with some of the other ones, I've seen bits of him.
Could it be like a De Sassi at right back? I heard he can play there, and you presumably can't play Malo every game until Reese is back, unless Reese is back sooner than we think. I don't know.
Well, they're saying 6 weeks for Reese, weren't they? So
yeah, they're saying Bournemouth. Actually, Bournemouth is when they're targeting it.
So you can't play Malo this week. I don't know. We must have an academy right back or someone kicking around who can fancy this game.
Cool. So we got unknown academy right back or Gusto at right back.
Or De Sassi.
Okay.
Someone is playing right back.
We can play Hudson-Odoi there. Callum. Play a bit of right wing back under Tuchel, didn't he? If we still have him.
Right, you need to let this go, Tobes. Let it go, okay?
Let it show.
Wow.
That is...
Better.
So, to sum up, someone is playing at right back.
Yeah. It's another broom job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, the two centre-backs, I was going to say De Zassi and Badiashil.
Well, if he's fit...
If Badiashil is fit enough to start, then I'd say the same. And then Gündoğan, De Zassi, Colwell, and Thiago get a rest.
Got that. Three in midfield. What are we going?
Big fucking Les.
Big Les.
I want Big Les in there.
Leslie Ugochukwu. Give him the captain's armband right now.
I want him on, and I want him scoring a screamer. I need it. I need Big Les just hammering one in. Do you remember? I know he didn't score any goals virtually afterwards, but do you remember when Mikel first signed and he scored a really good goal? I think it was against Forest in like the FA Cup.
I was there. Thrilled. I was there when he scored his last Chelsea goal against West Brom. It was right in front of me. I got to see him absolutely leather one into the bottom corner. It was fantastic. But if we can get Big Leslie Okocukwu to reinvent himself as, you know,
John O'Neill, if he scored against them.
I'd love it. We got that. But so Big Les is starting in our midfield and is our Big captain. Les. Okay.
If Lavi is available, I would play him. I don't know about
I think they said 2 weeks, didn't they? So after they signed him before he'd be available. Okay. So I don't know. But so, I don't know. Maybe they'll chuck him in for Wimbledon. But I think that's what Poch said. Yeah. But I don't know if he's talking about Premier League or what.
Okay. So realistically, so we got Leslie Okocukwu, Romeo Lavia. Who is going to be our number 10 then if those two are playing two defensive midfielders against Wimbledon?
Oh, do you know what? He's a dog in a cage. You have to just let him run around. I think Connor's just got to play just for...
Yeah.
Just have a good run around, yeah.
And he could play well.
You could play Casado and try and keep getting on speed, but I think Enzo, we can definitely let him have a rest.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got Connor as our number 10. Our front three. I mean, Mudrick was 6 days he was going to be out, so I think he'll be fit and available.
They were questioning whether he'd be fit for Forest or not.
Mm.
So I don't know if they'd risk him for this, but maybe he's come back.
If he's all right, play him. If not, then Yeah. I think Madueke is a dead cert for me. I hope you play Madueke.
So he needs to get in that team and prove his worth and also get some confidence. He looks pretty good, so you know, hopefully he can
play. Yeah, he's alright.
Okay.
So if Mudryk doesn't play, I'd maybe play Jackson left wing and just put Bairstow up top.
Well, I don't know how fit he is.
I might have missed someone.
He has been training. It is Mr. Broya. But I don't know if he'll start. Shout. He probably wouldn't start. He'd go off the bench, wouldn't he?
I can't even see him playing. ACL, they're saying he was projected to be back, fully integrated and playing October. This is a bit too early, I think.
He might get 5 minutes or something like that. It would be a bit like, you remember when Chile came on at the end of the season in...
Just to mark his return.
21, 22, yeah. Just to kind of say, like, oh, I'm back, but you'll see me next year.
Yeah. Mm. We'll have to see.
Maybe that.
I'm not going to lie. That was a bit of shambles of a Crypto 11. Someone's playing right back. Someone's playing in goal. Someone's playing on the wing. And hopefully Madueke plays. It's a summary of that team.
Basically,
you don't know who's injured and who's not with us there at the moment, do you?
No, but if you want facts, you don't listen to this podcast. We talk about Snapchat, food, Thursday dating.
Hey, these are all facts.
TV.
Though.
I mean, those are facts that we do talk about those things, but you don't listen, you know, Chelsea content is secondary on the Chelsea Echo podcast. No,
I feel like we just look at every possible solution. We're not just like, it's black and white. We're looking at it from a different spectrum. Maybe a literal spectrum, but still a spectrum on the left.
Oh, but I'd say, you know, we're quite artistic in how we do our stuff. It's an artistic spectrum.
Yeah, it's a thin line.
No, I just realised what I said. It's not an artistic spectrum. We should own our mistakes. Move on. Anyway, we're going to take a little break there. After talking about how we run our podcast, and we'll see you for any other business in a minute.
How's your chicken burgers?
Chicken burgers have gone.
Yeah, he's now in a food coma.
I am lying down with a feeling. You know when you eat so much you're uncomfortable. I think three burgers was a bit of a. It was a what's the word?
Challenge.
What's the overkill? Word?
No, yes, but what's the word when you like shoot for the stars, but like you're not very good?
Start Chelsea podcast. Fuck.
Yeah, similar. Ambitious is the word I'm looking for.
Okay.
That is the description you had for ambitious. Shoot for the stars and you're not
It sounds like you wanted 2.5.
I think 2 is always good.
I agree.
I do get it where 2 sometimes you think, oh, do you know what? They were fucking good. I could do like a bit more.
Yeah, but then you take a bite of the third one and you're like, yeah, actually, I really don't need this.
Anyway, on to our next section. Welcome back to the podcast. It's time for any other business, or all other business, as Tom calls it. Can we just like make up a jingle on the spot for this one? Like, just give us a little bit of rhythm, Tom. You know, just give us something.
Why me?
You're the music man. You know all the latest tunes.
Yeah. Me?
Yeah, you, man.
I know nothing, mate.
You're joking.
If I'm honest, I don't even get any offer.
Here's your jingle. Here's your fucking transfers, you slags. Have that. Have a bang on that.
Have a bang on that. Right, he'll go right to the very top. Nah. Do you know what's really funny? My brother, when he was 6 months old, looked exactly like Ray Winston. And I will send you both a picture to prove it. It's hilarious. Anyway, speaking of that, a six-month-old baby is looking like 60-year-old men.
Bet him play now. Nah.
Milk. Just came out going, you fucking slag.
Or you gamble responsibly.
Where's my milk?
The latest live odds on corners. guys, we've done really well to limit the tangents today as well.
Have we? We were pretty terrible. This is new levels. Bet in play. Nah.
Can we stop saying?
One thing you can bet on, though, is that Romelu Lukaku is taking the piss and he's managed to get himself a little loan with a 5 million loan fee and 6 million in wages or something. I mean, Mourinho's pushed for it. Obviously, he was linked with him at United. Mourinho has done us a favour. He is proper Chelsea at heart still. So he's still taking him off our hands, at least. Because we were talking about the conundrum of him being stuck and you know, being toxic within the club. So at least he's gone.
His tour of Italy continues. And let's see how many Italian mafia from different regions of Italy he can have on his back.
It's quite inspiring, though, for the kids, isn't it? Like, if you're a footballer and you're a complete knobhead, knowing that, like, you can get 6 million in wages and keep being like that.
It's great, isn't it? I mean, you can then he'll say that Roma was his first love, or he'll say, like, my latest love is Roma. Do you reckon, like, it's like if he was on Love Island, like I said, I don't really watch it, but do you reckon he'd be pulling football clubs for a chat by a fire pit?
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah, good shout.
Yeah. He'd be the guy that people keep in because he's entertaining, not because anyone likes him. And then when it gets to the end, when you've got like four or five couples that are serious and you like, and then it's just him and his latest girl, then he gets kicked off. So I don't know who that
would be. And he goes back to the other one and says, I felt home here.
He'd be like Adam Collard. For those people who listen to the bottom know Love Island, he'd be a bit like that. Rosy and, you know, with his little lips and all that. That would be Lukaku. Good riddance. Get out. Please don't come back. Do well at Roma so they buy you. And then I never have to see a stupid face again.
I kind of want Tammy to just come back and displace him, though, as well. There's that little part of me that would like that. But, yeah, as long as he's off our books, I don't really care how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I think, I mean, we said our bit on Lukaku last week, didn't we? Like, he's gone. We're done. We're happy.
Let's not go down that road.
But we'll move on to this one, which I didn't actually think was news. I'd only seen little bits of it on Twitter. I just thought it was, you know, the Twitter tacticos having their moment, talking about half spaces and CAM and, you know, progressive passes, but they don't actually know anything about fucking football. Emile Smith Rowe to Chelsea. Thomas, would you care to enlighten us?
Yeah, if I'm completely honest, I have no idea how serious it was, but I saw it on Twitter and I thought we can discuss it whether it's serious or not because it would be interesting. We mentioned last week or the week
before.
The
song. It came up when we were talking about songs,
exactly,
didn't it?
And how that would be the only time we would sing an Arsenal chant is if we took one of those two. I have absolutely I've not seen any journalists mention it. I just saw it trending on Twitter and thought, that's an interesting topic. Let's debate it. Would I take him? I don't know. I haven't seen him play for about 2 years. So I haven't seen him play football for 2 years. He looked good, a couple of years ago, but I have no idea what he can do now. I mean, I guess he can play on the wing and in the 10 role, which is what we're looking for, and it would be quite annoying for Arsenal fans because it would ruin their chant, which would be funny. But other than that, I don't know.
I mean,
they'll
try
and
shift. Trying to be really sophisticated now on this podcast. We've upgraded to not just shouting at each other. I'd like it out of spite just because of that. But when you actually, like you said, the last 2 years, we haven't really seen him. And the reason we haven't really seen him is because this boy gets quite a lot of injuries and our medical facilities are already quite full. We're at full capacity. So as much as he looks like a talented player, at least when he's played, it does worry me that
there's no room
in the end. And us, there's no what?
There's no room at the inn. We bring it back! We got it back! I'm so proud of that one!
Sorry, Jose. Fabrizio Joe over here.
Fabrizio Joe. Premier in. Here we go. Look, I agree with both of you. I cut you off, unfortunately, and I do feel really bad. So
No, it was worth it. The Joseph reference was so worth it.
Listen, I like we said, he's always injured. He looks good when he plays, but he's not someone I'm looking at gasping to get in a Chelsea shirt. Is he going to be someone who I think is going to bring lots to the team regularly? No. Is he going to probably cost us 50 million quid or something stupid? Yes. Is it worth it? No.
Would cry, though. They would really cry because it's one of their own. It's one of those ones. Like,
well, it's another one we just rejected from our academy. So it's like we'd be... It's like, you know, I'm not saying, obviously, you know, there are... I'm not saying that's why we shouldn't sign him because he's going to have to be rejected because that's just stupid. But, you know, I think that... I just don't think... for the value we're going to be paying, it's worth it. The more I've read about Cech Cree, the more I've been potentially entertained by him.
What about Eze?
Eze would be ideal, but I just don't think we'll get that. Yeah, but I don't think we'd get Eberechi Eze. But I do think he'd be a great signer for Chelsea. But then we're talking about potentially 50-odd million for Emile Smith-Rowe. You're probably looking at 70, 75 for Eze. So, you know, are we going to spread that over 17 years? No, probably not. So, you know, realistically, I just don't think the value's there. I do think there's somebody out there, which is probably not going to be like a sexy choice, which we could go sign from like Swindon. I don't know. There'll be like someone in the Prem or like just coming through in the Championship, where I reckon you could go and get them and they'd actually do a decent job. And just someone who could come into the squad.
It's funny you mentioned Swindon. I think it's Swindon. Someone might have to correct me. But there's a player called Young this season, and he scored 4 on the weekend and got an assist. And the week before, I think he got 2 goals and 2 assists as well. Like, he's just been on fire, this Swindon striker. So maybe you're actually onto something with that one. Also, he's not the exact role, but the guy's contributing.
Well, this is it. Game, get someone from there. You know, Didcut, Yateley, Winnersh, Taplow.
Winner in a triangle. Just lifting the train back from sort of Swindon over to London. Somewhere along that route, we need to sign. Didcot Parkway. We'll recruit someone from there. Bring them in.
Just sign the town. Yeah. He's going to be one of our multi-club model.
Multi-club.
We have Strasbourg and FC Didcot Parkway in our model. Unfortunately, Lukaku, you're going on loan to FC Didcot Parkway.
Enjoy. Oh, that would bring me so much joy.
Yeah, and we're not paying, and neither are they. You just have to play for Didcot Parkway now.
I don't want to play. You can go do the burgers in the burger van, just like flipping them at half time.
He'd enjoy that, to be fair.
Oh yeah, you would. I'm not saying anything on that.
But what was I going to say on the last thing on Smith Rowe? It would be quite funny singing their song though, like Enzo and Emil Smith Rowe. That would be quite funny.
Enzo and I'm sold. Yeah. 50
it would actually have to, I reckon it. We'd have to somehow incorporate it so it's a bit of a diss at Havertz.
Yeah, true. And Mudrick would have to be in there just because that really annoys me that we have Mudrick. Mudrick and Emil Smith Rowe. Although he needs to stop scoring some goals.
Here we are. Here we go. You tried to say Mudrick, but he said no. Here we go. Enzo and Emil Smith Rowe.
Yeah, nice.
And then at the end, we just scream
Havertz.
Fuck Havertz, we got
Smith Rowe. Yeah, that's boom. Right, 50 million quid. But anyway, what I reckon, if we get that right,
get a patent on that.
Get a patent on it, and not only that, send it through UK number one, 1,500 million streams, boom, we pay the transfer ourselves.
Did you see Robbie Williams singing Spurs' Began song?
Oh my God, I just made me want to cry. I actually want to throw myself off my balcony.
It's actually a bit of a banger, isn't it? I did listen to it. I was like, I hate them, but like, it's a good song. It is a good song.
Speaking of people we hate, Mark Cucurella.
Oh, this is elite. These segues. I swear you'll never see anything like this again.
So watch it. Drink it in. Much like I was drinking in Fabrizio Romano's tweets about Mark Cucurella last night.
And someone who drinks Estrella and eats paella. Yeah, he's off. Or it looks like he's off, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, thank God for that, is all I say. Hopefully they can incorporate it where it's a loan to buy.
Obligation.
That'd be nice. Get us a little
bit
of an obligation.
Involved. Obligation. If he plays one game, you have to buy him. And you have to pay 62 million. You have no choice.
Oh, man. For you, my friend, free of charge.
Honestly, yeah, I'd pay to get rid of him. That's probably a dumb idea. Well, it is a dumb idea with our FFP. I don't know where we are with it, but just get him off the books, and then Mattsson he has a clear pathway to the first team too when Chilwell gets injured in 2 weeks. So the only thing I will say about that is obviously we've spoken to death about Lewis Hall, but if we knew Cucurella was going to go, could we have maybe tried to keep him, or did we literally always plan on getting rid of Hall with that 6-year deal to kind of bring some money in? I don't know.
I mean, it probably was that, wasn't it?
I think it was a bit of that, but I really do think Hall saw Newcastle and was like, if you've grown up supporting them and everything, wouldn't you? Yeah. You would just go there anyway, wouldn't you? Yeah, I don't know. I think it was a bit. I think we've spoken about it before, but I think every party probably wanted it.
Yeah, it made sense, and I think with that opening the path for Ian Mattsson isn't a bad thing either. I think he's a fantastic player. Pochettino said to be a massive fan of him. He looked great in pre-season. The few games I watched of him at Burnley last year.
Yeah, he looked fantastic.
He looked great, and the way that he bombs up and down, he just fits exactly what we need.
Comfy on the ball, and kind exactly. of Colwell's been kind of playing left back anyway. Like with how far Chile's been playing forward, it's been a bit more four than five. It looks like five because it's five defenders, doesn't it? But we're kind of playing a bit of a four.
Exactly. So, thumbs up for me, Mark. Off you go, mate. Get in your Spanish car. You say Ibiza, whatever it might be, and off you go.
Take your hair with you.
Exactly. Yeah. but you can just tell that Tom just really does not like Mark Correa.
I didn't get that.
I absolutely despise him. I'm just what a waste of money, waste of a signing. Like Brighton are laughing at us there. We paid that. I genuinely think that and the fact we took their entire coaching staff and scouting staff, which obviously created a bit of bad blood. But I genuinely think the Cucurella signing was part of the reason that we've paid so much for Caicedo, because they know what we're willing to pay. But anyway, you know, he's fine. He's been really good for us.
The most expensive fullback of all time.
Yep. And we paid for it in his locks.
And you can see why.
He has long hair. He now wears the number 3, and he was at the start of this season our fourth choice left back. And I hope to see him become United's first choice left back, so I can laugh at them. Get rid of Cucurella, let Ian Matson do his thing, and at some point this season, I want to see a challenge like he made against Blackpool last year, a crunching challenge for a red card. That was good fun to watch.
Love that, fantastic.
I'm just surprised that United have looked at, obviously Luke Shaw's injured, and I saw their options. It was him, Reguilón, and Marcos. And I'm a big advocate of Marcos, but I'm a big advocate of Marcos playing up front or on the wing, not a left back in a four, because that was terrifying under Sarri. I'm just, surely there's, again, maybe Swindon, Bracknell, you know, these places. Surely there's a left back there that could do a job.
Oh, it'd be good, wouldn't it? Just pick it up randomly. United have signed a left back from Swindon. Can you imagine the United stand when that happens? Sparky loses his mind. Goldberg. Oh no! What is that?
I don't even know where Swindon is.
Oh dear. I love Sparky. We'll have to get him on at some point. I'll drop him a text. Hello. Anyway, we'll move swiftly on. We've had our Marco Correa loving. He's an absolutely fantastic player, Manchester United fans. You're guaranteed to sign an absolute worldie. Good luck
to
you.
He always plays like Dortmund at home. He always plays like that. That's the performance you guys need to watch and cling on to.
Exactly, absolutely.
His hair definitely doesn't like dangle behind and make him look way slower than he is. And he's never out of position.
The maddest thing was it the Real? I think we played Real and Villa consecutively when he goes to like press and engage and leaves that big gap. And then we have Real, and you're like, don't fucking do that again.
And he did it against Real Madrid. And guess who suffered as a result? Trevor Chalobah. Which brings us on to our next bit of transfer news.
Lovely.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Like, we've gone there. We're going to aim for the 45-minute mark. We're nowhere near it. But these
knee sliding in my bedroom right now.
The transitions are good, though.
I can't knee slide, but if I could, I would be knee sliding.
I was going to say, I hope you're not. Anyway, the last, obviously, little bit that we're saying, Trevor Chalobah, Bayern Munich interested, apparently. I know, obviously, Inter Milan have been trying to scramble and, you know, pick up what, you know, whatever Parma ham they've got down the back of the sofa to give to us.
Potter would like that.
He would. It's not quite an Argentinian steak. Parma ham. It's a Lee. It's not from that area, though. Might be. There's probably should be like a nice veal escalop, you know.
Yeah, we get it. You're Italian, all right, Louis? We get it.
Listen. My family make Parma ham, mate. It's from the region. We don't mess that's about. We run those Kazi features. Mate, I've eaten ricotta freshly made in like a fucking farm. It's great. I've carried
the cow's tit.
I've carried milk to a Kazi feature when I was 7 and I was like really fat still. Put them on my shoulders, mate. I was like Thor in a training camp. Trevor Chalobah potentially on his way to Bayern Munich. Just saying, you know how you two say you don't rate him? If Inter Milan and Bayern Munich are sniffing...
I don't dislike him. I think he's all right. I just think he'd only ever be a squad player here. But I do like Trev. I'm not too bothered if they were to get a fee from either.
I agree. if we get a fee anywhere near 40 million, we should say yes without even considering it. Because again, that's pure profit. And like, he's all right. I don't dislike him. But I just think he's just meh. And yeah, okay, Bayern and Inter want him, but is he going to start at Bayern? No.
Well, they talk about him as a replacement for Benjamin Pavard, aren't they? You know,
Tuchel did love him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because in that cup final, he went in too fast and broke his knob in half. And then, Tuchel just seems to have a lot of respect for him after that.
Yeah. So, well,
Tuchel just loves defenders. He loves defenders.
Yeah. He could probably play right back against like FC Augsburg and whoever you're playing in that league. He'd be fine. But, you know, he can go.
I like Trev anyway. That's a nice move.
Yeah, it's good, but he deserves that. I think, you know, I really, really like Trevor Chalobah. Again, as you both very well know, I'm a massive passion merchant. So that's right up my street. But, you know, I do think that he is someone who... We were talking about DNA earlier, how important it is. Trevor Chalobah and Conor Gallagher, I think, are two examples, and probably Ian Matson as well, obviously, but I'd say those three are the last remaining examples of players who understand the culture and the importance of Chelsea Football Club.
Reece and Cole will do,
Brain's gone. Brain, long day. Reece and Cole will as well, obviously. You know, they are players who have an appreciation. My argument was completely fallen on its arse. Take the 40 million, forget it. Let's move on. End of the conversation.
Palace goal was special though. Like, that was a lovely moment. Yeah, that's one of my favourites. That's just a really nice Chelsea moment, that, to be honest.
Yeah, and you can see how important it was for him. And it's stuff like that which I cling on.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I like those things, and I do think it's important because he loves it here. And we've sent him all these names. I think Cole Will, obviously, he was there. He loves it, but he was obviously trying to figure out where he could sit from, you know, what was better for his football. The only ones I think really unconditionally that we've seen and are vocal about it that unconditionally love it are Trev, Connor, and Reece. Those are the only three where I'm like, they are just, they cling on to it. And I don't think that.
I agree, but we saw Mr. Chelsea giving it and all that, and here he is. Stinking up in a United shirt, so you know.
They finally won at the weekend when he wasn't playing.
It goes both ways, though. It does.
But yeah, look, we'll have to see what happens with that. But that has been all other business. Do the jingle, Tobes.
All other business, you fucking legs.
Awesome. Cheers. Thank you very much. That's it. brings us to the end of the pod. This has been a great one, boys. I've really enjoyed this. So many tangents.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Mate, there's plenty of room in the inn wherever we go when it's with us. If you want to come join us at our inn, because, you know, I'm not Joseph, I'm not a cuckold, and, you know, Tobes has got, you know, the disabled room at the minute, but, you know, that's going to open up at some point. And then, you know, we've got a really long bed for Tom as well, and for Jordan, who is scarily tall. But yeah, that is it. If you have enjoyed the pod, please do make sure you give us a good review. We'd really, really appreciate that. Make sure you drop us a follow, because then you get notifications when we release. And we've got a potential plan for an unbelievable pod for your international break content.
Yeah, we got something cooking in the background.
It is cooking. It is going to be unbelievable. But that has been it. Lads, anything you want to add before we go?
I'll take it back to Wimbledon, as that was what the pod was meant to be about, say that, I'm excited for that game. It'll be my first game at the Bridge this season, so I'm excited to see, and hopefully we can match the, no doubt, loud Wimbledon support and win, like, comfortably. Like, Luton 3-0 was nice. It'd be nice to win by that again.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I'd just add, just pass the pod, guys.
Have you not thought of anything else?
Well, no. I think it's been a lovely episode. It's been eventful. It's been fun. We're just building here. This is a project. You know, it's early doors, but this is a project that is eventually just going to explode.
Exactly. So I can't be one of the listeners on the Chelsea podcast that no one listens to.
Yeah, be one of those people that in 4 years you're going, oh, I was there when they were shit. Yeah.
I listened to them before they were cool.
Yeah, exactly. Now they've got all, now they're two up themselves. Like, this is, you know, years to come when we are, you know, just flying high
in the sky. Eating cheese with Marcel Desailly every day.
And that's when I can afford enough to get, you know, I can go on a 12-week training camp, lose 3 stone, you know, and look really, really amazing.
Get your own DVD.
Exactly. And then Tobes will start wearing lifts. So, you know, it'll be fine. We can...
I'm already there, mate. Already there.
To look the right of it anyway. We've tangented at the end of a podcast past the bomb.
That's it's symbolic.
Come listen to us when we were shit. We'll see you guys later. Ta-da.